Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. So death.
Welcome back to another great show. We have a really, really great show planned for you guys tonight. Jeezy is out tonight. He's not feeling well, so hope my boy Jeezy gets well here soon. But what I want to do is go ahead and let you guys know, if you haven't, those that are listening, those that are new to Global 14 Radio, make sure you sign up to global14.com and get into it. We have a vegetarian and vegan Lifers Challenge going on right now. A lot of people are posting their pictures of what they're eating. Shout out to Ash. He's been killing everybody with the pictures, so hopefully everybody picks their game up a little bit. But definitely I'm proud of a lot of people that are taking this challenge on. And really what it's doing is it's helping a lot of people eat other food, food that they normally wouldn't eat on a regular basis. So I'm sure a lot of people, we're going to talk about this on another show, because those that are participating, I would love to hear, you know, how they feel in a week. Well, unfortunately, I do have some bad news tonight. Rest in peace to comedian Patrice O'Neill. He was 41. If you guys remember back in October, he suffered from a stroke, and they're saying that he passed away due to complications of the stroke. So Global 14 sends out our prayers to his family at this difficult time. I can't imagine, you know, 1 minute, you know, I was just watching his comedy special, Elephant in the Room, and he's a really funny guy. And for him to pass away at 41, I'm 35, so that's 6 more years. So I can't imagine having to go through, have a stroke and having to deal with this type of issue, especially having diabetes. I have a sister that has diabetes, so definitely you guys got to take care of yourself. But like I said, they're saying that it's complications from a stroke that he had in October. I'm just going off of what I read, so hopefully, like I said, you know, his family can get through this difficult time, and you know, hopefully we'll get to the bottom of a lot of the diseases and a lot of stuff that's going on. Excuse me, I'm stuttering right now. But a lot of things that's going on right now. And one of the reasons why we're having this show is because we want to talk about how we can cure ourselves by just changing the way that we eat. So definitely stay tuned. Karen Calabrese will be on the show tonight, and she will definitely be talking about, you know, why she became raw vegan, all right? And another thing that came out today, Conrad Murray was sentenced to the max of 4 years in county jail. He will not be going to, you know, prison. He will be going to jail due to California law. The judge sounded like he would have given him more time. And the judge's name was Judge Michael Pastor. And he said, what we all were thinking from the beginning, that Conrad was not remorseful for MJ's death. And also, if you guys heard, Conrad participated in a tell-all for Michael Jackson, and that definitely hurt him in the end. But the bottom line is, whether or not he needed money, you know, this just goes to show what type of person Conrad Murray was. And you guys know how I feel about Conrad, so I don't want to spend no more damn time on talking about Conrad this episode. So, but anyways, what we're going to do, what we decided, because Karen We'll be on the show a little bit earlier than normal. We usually have our guests the second half of the show, but the show is going to be a little bit longer tonight because we have a lot of questions and stuff that we want to talk about as far as being raw vegan. Some of you guys know what raw foodism is and what veganism is, but what we're going to do is we're going to cover a lot of that stuff tonight. So we're just changing things up a little bit because of this interview with Karen. So what we're going to do right now, we are going to go ahead and get into our spilt tea of the night with my girl Renita. What's up, Renita? What you got for me?
I see how we putting the meat eater on early. I don't know how that set up for
you know
today.
What? That's all good because you know what? I hope you're listening because we got something. I got something for you. Let me see you eating all that meat and whatever else. I heard what you said the other day, but yeah, just wait. Just wait.
Right. I have a feeling like when Karen, I'm gonna hear like a knock at my door, and it's gonna be like, Renita, open up. Like, y'all just going to come bust in my house and raid the fridge or something. It's going to be a takeover. I feel it coming, guys. I feel it coming.
Yeah. What's anyways, go ahead. What you got for us?
Yeah, the tea for today. So I have a Young Love exclusive. So some of you that know a little bit of my past, I had the pleasure to work with Cody Simpson. He's a young Australian singer. He's actually, I would say, the Justin Bieber of Australia. And I had the pleasure to be the casting director for his first video. Well, I have some inside in that camp, and I have the exclusive that Cody is dating Kylie Jenner. Now, I'm not going to say that Chris had anything involved. I'm saying that Chris ain't no fool, and look how she has all her other older daughters. Even Rob with this Dancing, you know, with the Stars is finally, I heard he's finally moving out on his own because now he got that Dancing with the Star money, so we'll see. But apparently I feel Chris is trying to make the next Justin Bieber, Selena Gomez couple, but, yeah, I can definitely confirm that we got some young love in the house, so good luck to those two. They're both adorable and cute. T-Boz, and we all know good old T-Boz from TLC, apparently is the next one that's going to have to file bankruptcy. She owes $768,642.99 to her creditors.
Wow.
Now, a lot of people are shocked because they thought T-Boz was making a lot of money because, you know, royalties and residuals and all that from TLC, but she's not. She's also not getting the $250,000 that Mac 10 owes her in child support.
She ain't getting that damn money. You know, she's never going to see that money.
She is never, ever, 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 ever going to see that money. Because when was the last time Mac 10 even had a hit? Like, I'm hoping this T isn't true. Because, you know, she has little ones and she's, you know, tried to stay on the straight and narrow and do different projects. But, you know, she's also been fighting illnesses and stuff in the past. So, Mac 10, step up, help your girl out because that's just ridiculous.
Well, what I read.
Oh, go ahead.
Check this out. What I read was let me just say that she's not broke. Like, she still is making a significant amount of money, but, you know, she's in debt. That's just what it is. But she is making money every month. So, but what it looks like is 80% of what she's making every month is going straight to bills. So it's kind of like, okay, yeah, it's time for a change.
Well, don't get me wrong. She is filing what I call the rich people bankruptcy. Like, I talk about this with my friends all the time. Like, people are like, oh, poor Toni Braxton. No. Tony still got money. The difference is when you file, like, rich people bankruptcy, you can rent to buy. You just can't go in and buy like you used to. That's the only difference.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
But he still should step up to the plate and help her because that's just ridiculous for him to be so far back in child support. Like,
well, but if he's already, okay, do you know how much he's supposed to pay her a month? Because we can calculate, you know, how much he's
back. Well, the total is 250. He's behind 250,000. Mm-hmm. He's behind.
Right.
So I'm like, you can't even pay a dollar, son. Like, like that's all I'm saying. Like, you get some Pampers, some something. Like, I don't know, Chuck E. Cheese, do something. Just don't do nothing. That's my whole thing.
Right.
Got some insider tea over at the Basketball Wise, one of my favorite reality pleasures. The set in Miami. So we all know Mika Claxton's out because once Tammy said, I am not doing the show, if she's on it, that was a no-brainer. So she's out. So replacing her is actually going to be two new Basketball Wives cast members. We have Kenya Bell. Now, a lot of her either know her as Miss Michigan or you know her as the crazy one that stabbed her ex.
Golden
State Warrior Charlie Bell. Yeah, she shanked him. It was a dispute, and she Yep, she did that. And, yeah, so I don't know why they put her on the show, but this is going to be interesting. Keep the silverware away. Keisha Nichols is the other new member, and she's also the one that was actually sadly and embarrassed. And she was so embarrassed. I feel so bad. But she was the one that was left at the altar via email by San Antonio Spurs Richard Jefferson. Like, he didn't even show up. And then she got it.
Whoa.
Via email.
Are you serious?
Right. So, it's serious. So both of them have been added to it. So I think with Shanky and Dumpy, with Tammy, I feel that it's going to be a good spice. And then my girl Evelyn's coming back. And also, speaking of Evelyn, her and Chad Ochocinco have just signed a deal for a spinoff since Evelyn, for the umpteenth time, has threatened to leave the show. VH1 not only got her to stay on Basketball Wives, but they also signed a deal and gave her a spinoff. Now, that is how you make your money. Work, mama. That's what I'm talking about. People need to learn. You know what I'm saying? Like, one
right.
thing she said from Tammy, she was like, you are a non-motherfucking factor. Blew up and became, like, a staple for the show where you threaten to leave, they give you a spinoff. Make that money. Make that money. And finally, my sweet tea for the day, which TV co-stars hate each other but fake it because that's the only way they were able to get their show. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of hints. She's known for cursing him out. He can't stand her. And the network literally only approved this based on a fraudulent real-life friendship that they thought these two had. So they figured, you know, it would come off great on TV, and the press of them being friends, that would be good for the show, but only if the execs knew that these two well-known stars can't stand each other, they would actually, I feel they would actually pull this show off the air. So, Crush, who do you think it is?
I don't know who it is. And at first, I had to read it twice because I was like, okay, who? I know Matt and Gloria. That wasn't them. That can't be them, correct? You can tell me, right?
Yes. Yes. It's not
all right, so it's not them, so we don't have to worry about that. But I can't imagine who in the world it is. I can't. I don't know. You can't give us a hint? I mean, what's up with that?
Well, I gave you hints. I'll give you another hint. The female.
Someone
is
said
not
it's
a
Eric Snow.
I'm not. Who said no? Nope.
Someone said Eric Snow. I promise. Someone said. In the chat room, someone just said Eric Snow.
It's not. Okay. Crush, you're getting a little excited. It's not Eric Snow, though. I'm just letting you know. The other hint is this female is not a stranger to television. She is well-known. She had a well-known character that people thought she was going to be stuck in that role, but she changed her image completely. Now she's known as, you know, like the one that brings the cookies to set and the all nice, you know, homemaker.
What?
But, yeah, she really is a little
scary. Sounds like something you made up. This sweet tea isn't real. This is sound like something you done made up and you trying to fool us.
The sweet tea is real, and my fans and all my lifers know what it is. Crush, as usually, is hating. But for now, y'all, figure it out. If you know, give us a call, 760-913-4119, or hit us in our group on Global 14, or just hit us on Global 14 or Twitter. This is your girl, Renita, with the spilled tea for the day here on Real Talk on Global 14 Radio. You can catch me on Global 14. I'm at Rock and Rolla. That's RockNRolla.
Well, I have a question before you run off, Miss Missy. Why can't you just give us another hint, though?
Wow. You know what? If you weren't the host, I think I would mute you right now. But since you have that power, I'm not giving you another hint. I gave you everything but the answer.
Come on, man. Look, this is the problem, okay? With who I'm trying to figure out it is. I'm mad at myself because it's bothering me that I can't figure out who it is. So let me go to the chat room real quick. All right. Tori Spelling.
Okay, fine. I'll give another hint. It's not
Don't
a
look
Spelling.
So upset.
What?
It's not Tori?
It's not Tori, but they're on the right track because the female was on the show that was as big as 90210 was. Like, it was a huge show back in the day. So, and I'll even give you another hint. She's a blonde, like Tori Spelling.
Okay.
That's all hints you're getting. That's it. That's all the hints you're getting. No more.
All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick commercial break while we wait for Karen Calabrese to show up. And we will be back with this wonderful interview. I'm very excited about this interview, by the way, because the thing about this is I've always been into eating right and veganism, and I've tried raw foods one time, and I thought I was going to die. But now that I know more about it, I want to share with everyone who, you know, wants to lose weight and wants to live a healthier lifestyle. So definitely, this is definitely a really special show to me, and I hope everyone is listening. And I hope that people in the chat room, I hope that you guys call in and, you know, ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions because she definitely has already started asking questions in the on Global14.com. So once again, we'll be right back with our interview live with Karen Calabrese.
Mary. Dogchild. Captured at first glance. That's the way it was. Happened so naturally. I didn't know it was love. Next thing I found was you. Holding me close. Myself.
Welcome back, lifers. That was the new Mary J. Blige, Ain't Nobody. Of course, that was a remake by, I think it was Chaka Khan. So definitely check out the new Mary J. Blige, My Life, too. All right, we got Karen Calabrese live with us now. How are you, Karen?
Hey, crush. I'm doing wonderful. Thank you.
I know we
Thank
blew
you.
Up your Twitter. You know,
oh,
everyone is really
oh.
excited. We promoted this like it was the last, this was our last day to live. So,
well, you know, I don't like to be so ultimately dramatic. You know, the thing of it is people have to realize we can live so much longer and better than what we do. Most people don't even realize that they're not healthy. You know, if they haven't been diagnosed with a disease, they think they're okay. But what I kind of teach and preach is there's so much more that we're not even aware of, that we're all born knowing how to take care of ourselves and we've just forgotten. So I'm all ready for you.
Okay, great, because you know what? Everyone on Global14.com, on Twitter, I've had people hit me up, even on my Facebook, and everyone is excited. So we got a lot of people listening in tonight. One of the
Beautiful.
Things I do want to clear up it, so that everyone knows from your mouth, you are 64, correct?
I will be 65 April 20th. So I'm already saying 65 because once I pass that six-month period, we're here for a year before we start our birthdays anyway, right? So,
right,
yes,
right.
I'm 64, but I'm saying 65 already. No Botox, no surgery, no lipo, no nothing except what I teach and live.
Right. So there you guys have it. Now stop calling me and asking me if this woman is really 64. She's even saying she's now 65. So how is that? A lot of women won't tell their age, but you don't have a problem saying that. So we definitely, we're going to, hopefully this show will teach a lot of people how to look as good as you by changing their diet. That's all they have to do. And one of the things I also wanted to mention, you know, in this interview, because I want people to understand, you are no different than anyone else, especially
no,
a lot of people that
like
are listening.
In fact, wait a minute. In fact, I've got a lot worse DNA. I mean, my mother died at 48, my grandmother died at 50, and my great-grandmother died at 60, and they all died overweight and young. So,
oh,
you know, we all get a DNA we're born with, and we have weaknesses and strengths, and we tend to eat our way and live our lives to feed those weaknesses within ourselves. So I was a very, very sickly young woman. You know, I had horrible skin, and I had the worst PMS on the planet, and I was a mess. And watching my mother and my grandmother and my great-grandmother led me to start educating myself on the most magnificent thing I'd ever be given, me, and putting all my time, my energy, my money, and everything into, because I like to remind people when they say, well, you know, it's too expensive to eat healthy food, or I don't
right.
have the time, or it's not nearby. Bottom line is you can have all the money in the world, the best job, the best children, the best spouses, the best education. If you don't have your health, you got nothing. So as far as I'm concerned, all of our money, all of our energy should go into the most magnificent machine we'll ever be given, number one, ourselves. And then what happens is it's kind of like a domino effect. Everything else falls
right.
into place. I swear to you.
Oh, it does.
Because
I'm
on
not 3 days. This is my third day detoxing. I'm with you. And I've done a 30-day juice feast before. And
mm-hmm.
I've never felt so better. The best sleep I've ever had. And I've only, like, it was like a... I only slept 5 hours, and I woke up like I had slept. You know, a lot of people think you need 12 hours of sleep, but
I
slept 5, 6 hours.
Honey, I've been sleeping 4 hours a night for the past 15 years. That's how I can run 5 businesses.
See?
I work 16 hours a day, 6
right.
days a week, and I don't know what tiredness is. I haven't been sick in 42 years. I don't know what tiredness is.
Wow.
I don't know what illness is. And as you said, and I like to say, I'm not special. We all have this. You know, we are a self-regenerating organism. You get new cells every 7 years. You get new tissue every 3 months. So the reality is we're
oh,
never
wow.
more than 7 years old. But if the body doesn't get the right nutrients and tons of enzymes and oxygen, which even if you're eating close to being okay, the oxygen levels weren't like they were when God created the world. When man was created, the oxygen levels out there were at 38%. After the Industrial Revolution, they went down to 22. We're living in the teens now in terms of oxygen. And all cancer cells, herpes viruses, all viruses are anaerobic, meaning they can't live in an oxygenated environment. One in two people in our lifetime will have cancer. That's every other person you know. And it isn't from the clouds somewhere. It's this internal environment that we live and create in, and the external bizarre world that man has created that we live in. That's the only reason we're getting sick and dying so soon, because human body is meant to last a couple of hundred years.
Yeah, you know, and you know, we're going to get into that because I'm sorry, I get on a soapbox so easy. No, it's fun because when I'm talking to people about this stuff, I do the same thing. But we're definitely going to address some of those things because, you know, like I said, you didn't just drop out of the sky and you're some alien that dropped out of the sky and doesn't age. You know, you've had some of the bad habits a lot of people are eating with the standard American diet.
Oh, honey, I had a standard American diet. You know, I come my family, my grandmother, who I learned to cook from, she used to keep a grease pot on the stove for all the bacon she cooked. They saved the grease to use later, you know, with the food. The stove had a grease pot built in it, you know. No, I came from a very standard American diet and, you know, ribs. And although, you know, when I was growing up, the food was a lot cleaner than it is for people what they get today.
Exactly.
Even the garbage that I was brought up on, you know, and, I mean, but, you know, we had vegetables, but we had canned peas, canned this, canned that, canned string beans. My great-grandmother made biscuits and some great food, but, you know, that was for the church ladies when they came over on Sunday. You know?
Right. Right, they brought everything, every part of the pig. You
right,
know, they
exactly.
had everything. They showed up with everything. Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, basically what you're telling us is, you know, you look this great because you are a raw vegan. And I want you to tell us, what's the difference between being a raw vegan and being vegan?
Well, you know, first of all, I want to say that I didn't just wake up one morning and become a raw vegan.
Right.
There was a journey for me. I was a vegetarian first, and then I was a vegan. Cooked, and then I became a raw food vegan. And actually, in actuality, this is the way God intended every animal on the planet to eat. Humans are the only animals that voluntarily cook their foods, except our pets. We feed them cooked foods also, and they get the
right.
exact same diseases we do, obesity, cancer, arthritis. Animals in the wild eating raw do not get these diseases. So we are all animals, and we're all meant to eat food raw. And the reason for this is because of the enzymes. We need enzymes for every metabolic purpose in our bodies. When the enzymes are
right.
gone, that's when you die. Every time you sit down to a cooked meal of food, vegan, low fat, low sugar, whatever you want to call it, if it's cooked over 120 degrees, the enzymes are destroyed, and then your body has to use those enzymes to break the food down. So you literally use
right.
up your life force at the table as opposed to adding to it. So when you eat raw living foods, you are adding to your enzyme pool, and you're not using up what you were born with, because as you grow older, you use them up, and that's how you grow
right.
old and die. And, and I like the way that you keep saying the way I look, because, you know, a lot of people criticize and they go, well, it's not all about the looks, but it is. It is,
yeah.
folks, because everything externally shows what's going on internally. Every line on your face, every sagging whatever is showing
yep.
you a different organ is starting to break down.
That's your
so
story.
For me,
I believe how you look on the outside is telling a part of
exactly
your story.
Exactly what's
it's
going on inside
you.
Your
yep.
skin, everything. So I'm glad you said that, because so many people go, well, because I do it as much for vanity as I do for health, you know. I'm just
right.
not ready
right.
to wear naturalizer shoes, not that there's anything wrong with it, elastic pants all the time, not that there's anything wrong with it. I'm just not ready to go there.
You know, I'm going to hold you to that, because, you know, I'm going to come visit you, and if I see you in some elastic pants, we're going to have a talk.
Never. No, honey. I wear mini skirts and 5-inch Manolo Blahnik heels. I'm not your typical raw food vegan either, because people like to kind of categorize you when you come into the healthy world, you know, where you're supposed to wear Birkenstocks and have nose rings. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but You know, I believe we come in all shapes, colors, sizes, economic, religious. It doesn't matter. You can be a vegan. And this has been my message, really, because I get very mainstream people. I have two cooked vegan restaurants also, and hopefully your listeners
will
go on my website.
Yeah, we're going to mention that. See, you know what?
And check them out.
You know what? That's right. We're going to, because I wanted to talk to you about that. You have this holistic health empire. That's what I call it, because I read your book, Soak Your Nuts, and we're going to talk about that title a little bit after this. So I read Soak Your Nuts last night, and
okay.
Very good book. Let me tell you,
if
anyone, you know, sometimes you read these books and they're so hard to read because they get way too far into scientific.
Technical, yeah.
You know, yeah, it's too technical. So with your book, it's straight to the point. You are brutally honest, you know, I don't want to say brutally as in, but you're really honest about
your health. I'm just straightforward, you know. And
yeah, that's right.
I'm not scientific myself. In fact, when people say to me, because I get interviewed a lot, and we just did a TV show with my dog today, and people go, and they'll have a doctor on, and they'll go, well, how do you know, and where's your scientific proof? And my answer is, you know what, try for a week and tell me I'm wrong. You know,
yes.
Because that's what rules the universe, cause and effect. There's no way it can't work, folks. There's no way. Cause
right.
and effect, well, that's what rules the universe. And you can't say, well, I just do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. If it wasn't intended to go in there, it's got to create an imbalance.
Right. Like you said, if you can't pronounce it, don't eat it.
Right. That's how I brought my kids up.
If you can't pronounce it, don't eat it.
Because God didn't make it. You know, God doesn't have labels on his food with warning signs.
Right,
and words
that's
you can't
right.
pronounce.
Well, what's funny, I was able to catch the clip of the show that you did today with you were making
dog
food. Yeah, but check this out. What's so funny is, like the lady said, oh, wait, because your dog, the guy had handed your dog some cooked food.
Did you see how
aggravated
he was with me?
Yeah, like, really? Did you just hand me that? And I had a dog last year that I rescued him, and I didn't feed him any meat at all. He had vegetarian, it was just regular vegan and vegetarian food, and he would not. I promise you. You know how dogs like the canned food?
Mm-hmm.
He would not eat it. My mom could tell you. He was not eating any meat. Like, you can put it in front of him, and he would sniff it and look at it like, okay, what is this? He would not eat it. So, yeah, people are programmed to eat unhealthy. And just like with our
mm-hmm.
animals, if you feed them, you know, processed meat, that's what, yeah, they're going to love it.
Or even processed dog food. Yeah, because they're supposed
right.
to have meat now. I do have a little thing there. You know, God intended, but they're omnivores. They're supposed to have meat and vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
Cats are true carnivores. But you know what? Just like we're trained to eat meat, they can be trained to eat vegetables, like you said. You know,
right.
I mean,
right.
it can go either way. My dog does get rough. But what I wanted to say was, did you notice the guy? Because I'm not a chef, and I wasn't really supposed to talk. I was just supposed to stand
right.
there and point to my food. But when I got to the station, they've had me there before, and the dean of the girl said, oh, Karen, I knew that was you. She spent all the time talking to me, and the little chef there was so pissed off.
Yeah, because you know what? You took the raw meat, like you said, you're supposed to feed your dogs
mm-hmm.
raw meat. So you took the raw meat and the vegetables, and you just blended it, and it looked just
right.
like regular. It looked like canned dog food, but like you said, like your dogs are supposed
and then
to
my
eat
dog
raw
would eat his cooked food. That's what
yeah,
was so
your dog
funny.
Wouldn't. That was funny. It's live, and I'm gonna post it on Global 14 so everyone can see. Your dog was just like,
you.
Nah,
thank
I'm
you.
Not eating this.
So when are you coming to Chicago? No, I know we have to talk more about health, but I'm dying to meet you.
No, I'm coming next month. I promise you. I will be there.
Oh,
and definitely, I'm going to eat everything on the menu. I'm ready for it because it looks good. JD has posted, I think JD has posted some pictures before, but I've seen a lot of your videos and some of the people that you have interviewed with, and the food looks amazing. So I definitely can't wait
Thank
to come
you.
Out there to try some of the stuff on the menu. So some of the things, some of the businesses that you have, and I just want to mention them because the thing about this is you started a lot of these businesses from scratch.
Oh, all of them.
This is all
with
you.
No
yes,
money, no support, nobody believing in anything that I was doing. Everybody, I mean, I live in the meatpacking, you know, part of the world with all the cheese, and everybody thought I was totally insane, and I actually have the longest-standing raw food restaurant in the entire country. The first one that opened up in Atlanta, Georgia. It was four guys from Morehouse College opened up the first raw food restaurant. And
then
I opened the – And then I opened the – it was called Delights of the Garden. And then – so you see our folks, we've been ahead of the game a long time. Then I opened up the second one, and then the third one, Giuliano, opened up in San Francisco.
Okay.
And then your one in Atlanta closed, so that gave me the title of the longest standing because I was the second one to open. But I had no capital. I mean, nobody believed in what I was doing. I was raising two kids by myself. And, you know, my answer to that is people go, well, how did you know? How did you do this? And I always go, God takes care of fools and children, and I'm not a child. So
exactly.
I didn't know what I was doing. I had never even worked in a restaurant, and I'm going strong. I just opened up a third restaurant in the one of the worst economies we've ever had. So I don't pay attention to those things, though. I just do what I think is right. I work my booty off. I work 16 hours a day, 6 days a week, and I just push forward, and it never occurs to me to see if I'm doing good, bad, or whatever. I just do what I think God is leading me to do, and it works out.
Yeah, one of the things that I love also, so you have three restaurants open now. So the ones that I know about.
Yeah, four, because they're two in one location. And then I have a wellness center there, and I have a classroom, and I actually have a demo kitchen where I teach cooking classes and raw food prep classes. And I have a bunch of YouTube stuff up you mentioned. And I teach there, and I do free information seminars twice a month. But in the back, we have a wellness center where we have colon therapy and oxygen bathing and lymph drainage and a chiropractor and a naturopath, and we do organic manicures and pedicures and organic facials and live cell analysis and ear candling. It's really cool. I love – well, my standard statement is I'd kill myself if I had to work. So I just love what I do.
Right, because you know what? When you started all of these things, veganism and raw food – Buddhism, a lot of people thought that meant you were starving yourself. And, you know, I even saw where this family was feeding their kids, their family, the two husband and wife, one of their kids passed away. And they were called, their family name was Anderson.
Yeah, I remember that.
Like
that wasn't because, yeah. It,
yeah, but
yeah,
you know.
I vaguely remember that story. But it wasn't because it was they were feeding them raw
food. Exactly. But at that time, you know, and you building your businesses, you know, around this time, you know, how hard was it for you to build your brand? Because
people
didn't believe in being vegan and you know, eating a raw food diet.
Well, I used to have my first restaurant. I had this beautiful big sign up that says Gourmet Living Raw Food. And people would just walk by and stick their fingers down their throat and look at me like I was crazy and stuff. So then I took the sign down and I put another sign up that just said Good Fresh Food. And then Right. And then I just started holding these free information classes, which I've done for 34 years, because it's really all about education, which is why I love what you do here, because when you educate people, it's not about right or wrong or good or bad. It's just giving them a different thought where maybe they can investigate or look and think differently. And I started teaching classes, and I started getting some pretty unique people taking my classes, from millionaires to school teachers to judges and lawyers and doctors. And then Oprah had me on her show. And after she had me on her show, though, she cut out every way how to find me. It was so amazing. She didn't have my – and I didn't have an email and all that then, because this was like 11, 12 years ago. And she cut out my address, my phone number. There was no way to find me, but people still found me. And it just built from there.
So what you're saying is people wanted to know about, first looking at you. Yeah, because at that time when you were on that show, you were 53, and you looked like you were in your 20s. And I saw the clip of the show. And like you said, even though Oprah had you on the show, that is not what really got people to come to the show.
No, she wasn't my catalyst at all.
Right. Okay. Well, you know what? On top of talking about, everything that you have going on, this holistic health empire that I call. Let's talk about your book, Soak Your Nuts. You know, so,
see, it makes you giggle, doesn't it? And that was my point. You know, I walked away from three publishers because they wanted me to change the name. And it was like, no, this is the name I'm supposed to have. It came to me through meditation. And I was, this right. last publisher came and same argument. And I said, well, you know what? I'll just self-publish. Forget about it. And he says, no, 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 we'll do it. But, you know, they won't want right. to carry it in Whole Foods and blah, blah, blah. Whole Foods just asked me to do a tour all around, book signing everywhere. I said, okay, great. So my whole point is to make people smile. Yes, your health is serious, yeah, but right. you gotta enjoy what you're doing too. And there is a reason to soak your nuts. You break down the enzyme inhibitors, you break down the fats, you make them come alive. So where normally you might eat a whole big bag of nuts, you might eat seven right. or eight and feel satisfied. And that's the other beauty of raw foods. Hold up your fist. You know, I hope your listeners do it too. Hold up your fist and
okay.
look at it. And this is the actual size of your stomach. It is a tiny little sack in there. So it's not this whole big area, your whole abdomen, to fill up four or five times a day. So when you right. eat raw living foods that have been sprouted especially, it takes a lot less to satisfy you. And I say satisfy you because we're not supposed to be full. You know, we're not supposed to walk around full all the time.
Right.
So it takes a lot less to bring you satisfaction. So you have so much more time to do so many other things, to enjoy your life, to explore,
right.
you know, love and writing or whatever it is you didn't realize you didn't have time for because you're eating breakfast wondering what you're going to have for lunch and eating lunch planning on what you're going to have for dinner. You know,
right.
you just, it opens up another whole world to you when it all comes into perspective. So soaking your nuts, actually, you bring the nuts alive, and when they're living, it
right.
takes less of them to fill you up, and they're easier to digest.
Wow.
And it makes you grin and smile. And I also said, you know, the guys won't mind walking down the street carrying the book. You know, hey, I know how to soak my nuts, you know.
You know what? Someone, I think it was Ben on Global 14, he was like, man, how can I not want to read this book?
Exactly.
Just reading the title.
That
oh,
was my
boy.
Point. That was my point. We get the guys,
well,
too.
Yeah, because like you said, there's a reason for everything. And when it comes to your health, you definitely got to pay attention to what they're putting into our food and
mm-hmm.
why, you know, we are – all of us are getting sick. So what I want to do is, because I wanted
well,
to
one
get...
quick though, not only are we getting
mm-hmm.
sick, but people today, young people, are getting diseases that only old people used to get. Okay.
Oh, yeah,
you're
definitely.
Seeing younger and younger. You didn't get cancer till you were like 70, 80 years old. You didn't get diabetes
yeah.
till you were like 70, 80 years old. You know, and now younger and younger, I mean, it's an epidemic.
Oh,
it's
yeah, well, you look at
epidemic.
These 9-year-old girls that are built like 20-year-old women. And
smell like them, too.
Yeah.
They smell like women. No.
Right. All right. Well, let's do this, because I know
mm-hmm.
I want people to start calling in, and then we're going to
oh,
talk
sure.
about some of the stuff that is happening to our food and why we are so sick in America. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. And for those of you that are listening right now, call in 760-913-4119. And if you have questions for Karen, definitely call in and ask her. She's more than welcome to answer your question. All right, we'll be right back.
You know that thing. You know that thing. That love thing. That love, yeah. Make me want to sing. Every time
Welcome back, lifers. We are now back live with Karen. Karen, you know, I have a lot of questions for you because there's a lot going on in the world right now. A lot of people don't understand what is going on with their food. And, you know, it's unfortunate. And people, like you said, people are so, they're so quick to take a pill for something. Like, I haven't had a flu shot in almost 4 years. I refuse to
take
a flu shot.
Thank God. There's no way the government is going to manufacture something that they're going to put in my veins, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to walk up. I can't tell you how many people, these, especially these traders, board of traders, they'll come up and go, oh,
right.
Well, I had my flu shot. Really, this van pulled up in front of your building and you went out and you gave them your arm to throw something in? Yeah, and that's the point. People are asleep, and that's what my detox really does. That's what my book is all about. It's not about being right or wrong or perfect or vegan or a vegetarian or a raw foodist. It's about waking up to this insane, bizarre world marketing that we live in that we just, you don't even pay attention. People are like little gerbils marching to their death, and they don't even question
right.
it. You know, we are living in such an age of chemicalization, and I can't tell you how many people come and go, oh, but I can't eat that, or oh, that. Come on, give me a break. If you don't do something different, you're going to get the exact same results. So we are living
right.
in such an age of chemicalization. I mean, the one that gets me the most is they got one now. If you shake your leg too much, they got a chemical for it. Restless leg syndrome. I mean, and how many billions of people are running out because their leg is jumping because they've got all this toxicity running around in their system, but they're going to take
right.
a chemical, and they think this chemical is going to change it. I like to remind people, if you have a headache and you take an aspirin and your headache goes away, your body was not lacking an aspirin. That's not why your headache went away, okay? Your headache went away because you took a chemical to block the reaction. And every single symptom that your body manifests, I don't care, from a pimple to cancer, it's just your body trying to shake you awake and tell you, I've got too much of what I'm not supposed to have, too much of what I'm not supposed to have, and not enough of what I'm supposed to have. That's all
right.
any symptom is. And the reason I know this to be a fact is, my detox classes, I run the classes every other month, and I've done it for over 30
right.
years. I get people from, I get anywhere from 90 to 300 people in these classes every other month, and they come
oh, wow.
with all kinds of challenges from cancer to fibroids. By the way, ladies of color, stay off of any of those bleaching creams or things to even out your skin tone that has hydroquinone in it because it causes fibroids in your body. But I have
there
people with all kinds of challenges, and everybody gets results doing their version of what I recommend. So that tells me
right.
there is only one disease, a toxic body or poor no assimilation of nutrients to yourself. That's it. It's no big scientific equation. Your body hasn't got enough of what it's supposed to have and too much of what it shouldn't. And 99% of what people put in their bodies wasn't intended to go in there, which just shows you how magnificent the machine is, because you can put in almost everything wrong and you still get to get up and walk around. Whining and complaining, of course, but you get to get
right.
up, walk up, and have a day. So for me,
oh, yeah.
the bizarre world that we live in, I'm not ready to go live in the rainforest on a mountaintop someplace. I love the city. You know, I'm a city girl. I'm a Midwestern city girl. But to live in this bizarre world, I have to get away from as much toxicity as I have control over, or I want to have control over, because I'll be honest with you, I still color my hair. So
right.
we've all got something that we're working
right.
on.
Right, something that you do. Right, exactly.
But at least I'm aware of it. I'm not asleep.
Right.
I'm aware
right.
that it isn't right for me. But so what?
Right.
I make a choice. But I'm not making a choice blindly.
Right, exactly. You know what's in that product, and I'm sure there's some.
Right.
There are a lot more safer hair dyes that you can use, but like you said, you
of
know,
course
still
there are,
the chemicals.
You know,
present.
I'm in a process. You know,
right.
I'm in a process,
right.
like everybody.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, someone just asked in the chat room. You know, they asked about taking medicine for cramps, and I can say, and I can answer this. I have two things that I can share with you guys. Once I went vegetarian, I'm vegan now, but once I went vegetarian, my eczema went completely away. Completely
mm-hmm.
away. No more eczema. And also, once I also went vegetarian, and now once, like I said, I'm now vegan, I don't have menstrual cramps.
Yeah, and a lot of that has to do with mineral assimilation. And so even if you're eating right or wrong foods, it's a matter of what you're able to assimilate. And, yes, that's an easy one. People get over PMS, and that's a hormonal imbalance. And, once again, I'll go back to, because I'm not real big on spot-checking the body. Like, I have my own line of herbs and vitamins and things, and we do help people with those things. But I'm a one-size-fits-all. I believe in detoxing the body, and the body finds balance no matter what it is. And, yes, that's an easy one to get over, PMS. That's just a huge imbalance. And, once again, it's just your body saying, I got too much. And a lot of things like, you know, citrus foods or constipation, all these can trigger it. But once you're getting your body in balance, gone. You're absolutely right.
Right, definitely.
Did we answer her question?
Well, right, because that's the whole thing. Like, see, the thing about it is once you change, and I call it a clean diet, once you change to a clean diet, a lot of stuff is going to change for you. So, you know, like I said, I'm glad you're on the show tonight, because one of the things, the other things that I wanted to bring up was healthcare. Now, do you think if people switch to a cleaner diet, would healthcare be such a big issue in this country?
Well, here's the deal. First of all, I have not been to a doctor in 42 years. I don't recommend that for anyone else. I'm very comfortable with that choice because I'm comfortable with all my choices. I mean, I don't get mammograms. I don't get Paps. I don't do any of that because you can't convince me that I should nuke my body four times a year to find out if I have cancer. It's going to cause it. I don't need anybody else. I don't want anybody else to follow that advice. That's just my thinking on it. But of course it would, and they should actually change the whole system. Like, we have a lot of friends right now that have cancer. You know, they don't follow my lifestyle, and that's cool. You know, it's, we all get to make choices. And the first thing they say to me is, I have the top doctor at Northwestern. Well, you know what? If, God forbid, I did get sick, I wouldn't want the top doctor at Northwestern because he stopped learning. He's already created his reputation, and he's not interested in doing things in an integrative way. Me, I'm in God's pharmacy all the way. He created me, and he creates what I need to heal and change. And my whole journey, I've had lots of things along the way. I broke a kneecap once, healed it naturally, all kinds of things. I mean, if you get my book, a lot of my stories are in there. But for me, I need God's pharmacy. If we didn't have the health care and insurance, people wouldn't be able to do 90%. I mean, what are these pills, like $60 a piece, some of them? You know?
Yeah, there are a lot, especially people that have diabetes. I know I watched 30 and Raw. There's a documentary, and it's called, I think it's called 30 and Raw, and I know you know what I'm talking about, where it was a group of people that had diabetes.
And is that the one with Dr. Cousins? Because I'm in that one, if it's the one with Dr. Cousins, because he did a whole study on
you
diabetes.
You are in that one.
Yeah,
you
I'm
are.
In that.
That's right. I saw the trailer, and I just remembered.
Yeah.
How funny is that? And the lady lost 30 pounds in 30 days and got off of her diabetic medicine.
Oh, I had that all the time. We had a McDonald's executive who, we have the letter from her doctor saying she's no longer diabetic. I had an 87-year-old guy. They were ready to amputate his toe. It all healed. Yeah, you know, and you know what it is? I don't think there's an evil cabal of people out there out to get us. I think there's a system in place, just like in politics, and it's almost next to impossible to break that system. So the only way to do it is to take charge and control of yourself and educate yourself and do everything you can, and you put in a little plug there, and then people around you, like your show, you know, like the people, then this is how you make a change, because it, what's going on out there, it's just a little bit too big for me to even think of tackling it. So what do? I educate people as well as I can, and hopefully they start to make new choices, and you get to see the results almost immediately.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like I said, I'm on day 3, and I'm already, I'm kind of like, okay, now, you've been tripping because the detox is hitting me kind of hard this time. So I'm like, okay,
you really needed
this one.
Well, no, you know what it is also? What we do is we build layers of toxicity up. You know, you have a trillion cells in there, and it's like a target. They build layer upon layer upon layer. And some people can do a detox and get absolutely no cleansing symptoms whatsoever because they're in the middle of that layer. But once you hit that layer of dirt again, you get reactions, and that's a good thing. That's one of the hardest things for us to wrap our brains around, the fact that when you feel bad, that's really when you're healing. You know, we live in such a world of people come to me, well, I stopped eating meat, so I'm tired, or I did this, you know, or I stopped eating dairy, and I'm catching the cold. You're not catching your cold. Your body's doing what it's designed to do. It's throwing off what it doesn't need.
Definitely. Well, guess what? We have a caller for you.
Oh, okay.
Hold on. Let's pull her live. All right, Tasha. Whoa, okay. Tasha, you are live on Global 14 Radio. What's going on?
Hi.
Hi.
How you doing? How you doing, Ms. Karen?
We're having a little discussion here, huh?
Okay, I was wondering, what's the best way to detox?
Well, you know what? First of all, I don't believe you should ever be eating what you're eating 100% one day and start falling off the next day, just all of a sudden start to detox. My particular program that I teach, it's a gradual process. So we balance blood sugar levels first, protein levels, and we gradually bring the body into a state where it's ready to do a little mini fast. I don't think you should ever fast on fruit juices. I don't think you should ever fast without doing some form of colon therapy with it. And I think you should be very careful with the people you're choosing to follow. I think mine is extremely balanced and well, and I have about $5 or $6 doctors that have given me testimonials, and they send their patients to me. But I also don't believe that mine is the only one. I think there are many roads to the top of the mountain. There are detox centers around the country that you can go to. There's my book you can buy. We're trying to do more on YouTube. But, you know, there's a lot of detoxes out there, different types, and sometimes you should do different ones throughout the year. But I don't think you should ever do like that lemonade, maple syrup thing. I'm not a big fan of that, and I'm not a big fan of anything. Yeah. No, I'm not a big fan of that.
Why are you not a big fan of the lemonade detox? Because a lot of people do the lemonade detox. So explain that.
Well, how many of them are still thin and healthy? What it does is, especially if you're doing any sweets, it goes directly to your spleen and pancreas and kind of blows it out. And then you crave more sugar, you crave more food, and it's harder to stay in balance. What my detox does is we're doing tons of chlorophyll, so we're feeding and cleansing the blood at the same time. We're just not taking nutrients and foods away. We're healing. We are drawing out and building up at the same time. As a matter of fact, the doctors who recommend my detox say that's what they like about it the best. You're not just pulling everything out, because if you pull everything out and leave a hole there, what are you going to fill it with? A lot of times you can use willpower for a bit of time, but eventually you're going to fill it with something, and it's not usually the right thing. So I am not a big proponent of ever fasting if you're not doing chlorophyll and greens and building up at the same time that you're breaking down. Did I answer your question, miss? And get my book. You get a lot of good information there.
I'm going to actually raffle off one of your books on Global 14.
Oh,
by the end of the week, so hopefully everyone will participate. But speaking of, you're talking about chlorophyll, but I wanted to talk about organic. And then, you know, like you said, you mentioned, you know, organic food being, you know, really expensive, and you know, you should invest in your health, period.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess what I've been reading some studies, and organic doesn't necessarily mean that it's completely free of chemicals.
Well, once again, that's this bizarre world that we live in. I mean, you know, you could have a sprout farm right next to a pig farm, you know, and you're going to get the runoff and the die-off there. And so that's why we have to take responsibility, and why I think it's so important. You know, the human body is supposed to be existing on about 60-70% chlorophyll a day. We have the same DNA as chimpanzees and monkeys, and they live on all chlorophyll and bananas in the rainforest. We're also tropical animals. We're supposed to be living in about 80 degrees weather. So we're in very bizarre circumstances. So for me, as much as I love organic, you know, I go out to other restaurants where it's not organic. I don't want to live in a bubble, but I make sure I get chlorella a day or kamut or wheatgrass or all of them. I'm taking in lots of chlorophyll to neutralize those poisons in my system. As a matter of fact, Dr. Wigmore, who started the whole raw food movement in our time, taught us that we could actually take our conventional vegetables, put them in water, throw some wheatgrass blades in, and it literally draws the toxicity out of them. So chlorophyll. I want to be organic, but I'm not going to just, you know, live in a bubble. I'm going to go to black tie affairs, and I'm going to go to other restaurants, even though I'm not eating animals, meat, fish, chicken, or dairy. So I make sure I get in at least 60% chlorophyll a day in my diet.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'm going to definitely post some stuff on chlorophyll, in the vegan and vegetarian group, because I have some of it, but I haven't really, dived into it. So I'm definitely going to go on your site and,
I feel like our conversation is a winner already.
Oh yeah, I'm about to stock up on your site. I saw a lot of things that I wanted. Well, do you suggest that we start learning to grow our own food? Because I feel like the cycle of life or the cycle of time, when you talk about what is being put in our food, and a lot of us do rely on like Whole Foods and Trader Joe's and all of these different grocery stores to, sell us the right stuff, and you can't really rely on that. So do you think that people should start learning about growing their own food again?
Well, sweetheart, I think that is such a wonderful thought, but not very practical. Not many of us live in places where we can grow food. We can sprout, and that's a wonderful way of getting protein and calcium through sprouting. But I think as much as I think it's a wonderful concept, I don't like to put those kind of concepts out there because it just frustrates people, and they go, well, where am I going to grow food? And then they give up totally. I live in a high-rise downtown, and I do grow tomatoes in the summer, but most people don't have that option. So I prefer, as much as in a perfect world, in a perfect world, we'd be in the rainforest, right?
Right.
And we'd be living in the jungle, in the rainforest, picking our stuff off. We wouldn't even be growing it. God grows it for us. We'd be right there. But, in a perfect world, yes, that would be fine. But I'm a big proponent of keeping it practical to keep it in practice, too, which is why I have so many greens and chlorophyll, like our green kamut and our living fiber and stuff, in capsule form, because everybody can't even get to a market to get fresh wheatgrass every day.
That's
so
right.
For me, at the end of my class, we do about 8 or 9 different chlorophylls, and at the end of class, I say to everybody, and I line them all up, and I go, out of all of these, which one is the best? And people start yelling, oh, wheatgrass, oh, chlorella, oh, green kamut, and I go, no, the one that's best is the one that you can afford and do every day conveniently.
There you go. Well, you say that, but I know that even picking out some of my supplements and stuff, some of them say they're vegan capsules. Some of them say they're not, and that's what
vegan capsules. All my things are in vegan capsules. I don't do anything in gelatin.
Okay.
Because gelatin is horse hooves.
That's right, but that's what I want. Right. Say it again. Gelatin is horse hooves.
It's horse
correct.
Hooves. That's what it comes from.
So if it doesn't have vegan on it,
I would not. No, I wouldn't take it in.
Okay.
No, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, because I use Vitamineral Greens with
that's a good one. That's friends of mine.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
And that's a very clean product. I know Jameth and his wife, I know them, and that's a very clean product. Mine is called Green Living Meal, and it's the same thing, but that's a very good clean product. You're in good hands with that one.
Okay. Well, let's get into what I know a lot of people have been talking about this year, when the McDonald's McRib made a comeback. And I know there's some people in the chat room that are not going to be happy about what I'm getting ready to say, but I want to let you guys know that, first of all, you need to know what you're eating and how this stuff is made. A lot of the food and a lot of the pork comes from Smithfield Farms, and this is where McDonald's gets a lot of their meat. And Smithfield Farms refuses to stop gestational gates. And gestational gates, the way that I can really describe this, is almost like sitting in the middle seat on an airplane. This is what a 500-pound pig is supposed to live in for, I don't know, how long is it, like a year or so? Like, or until it's really a long time. And just imagine having to sit in a middle seat and on an airplane for a whole year. Just everything. And I don't know, excuse me, one of the things that kind of disturbs me is that it hasn't really gotten mainstream attention. So how do you feel about
this
type of thing?
Well, it started, I still wouldn't call it mainstream. There are a couple of films that have come out now that are talking Food Inc. There are a few things that are making people aware of this. But I think what you're saying is so true. People have to realize it's not old McDonald's farm out there anymore, you know, where the animals are out on the farm in the sun plucking in the, you know, the corn and stuff. They're like warehouses. And there was a wonderful article a few years ago in the New York Times. It was called The Steer. And it's not even a profitable industry unless they sell it in mass quantities like they do to people.
Yep.
And here's the deal. As much as I would love everyone to become a vegan, if you're going to eat meat, for God's sake, get a higher quality. At least get right. Stop going to these fast food places, these McDonald's and Popeyes and places like this where they're not only ruining your internal environment but our global world also at the same time. And you're really addicted to these things. So for me, of course, I want you to be a vegan, but you don't have to eat meat at every meal. You know, in the 1800s, the only people that had heart disease were the rich people because they were the only ones that could afford to eat meat 3-4 times a day, all day long. So if you're going to eat the dead animals, then go to, you know, get organic and make it once a week, once every 2 weeks, once a month. You know, I live a rather absolute life myself, but that's not what I teach because you can't go from A to Z overnight, and I'd like for people to realize that it's a journey, and the best way to get there is to find a comfortable journey for yourself. I mean, that's why, you know, I wouldn't eat meat, but everybody listening isn't going to say, okay, I'm never going to touch meat again. But you know what? Maybe I don't have to eat it all day. Maybe I won't go to McDonald's. Maybe I'll support the places that care enough about the human condition to do something that's worthy of my body. So,
I'm going to post videos. I posted a lot of videos. And one of the things that I saw in several videos is that these animals, they get stricken with, you know, even more disease. And this is not like they don't, you know, this animal is, you know, they start growing, I mean, just growing extra, just
so
all these growths
the
and stuff on them.
The FDA does not require you to destroy the whole animal that has cancer.
Exactly.
They only have to lop off
saying.
The cancerous part, and they can sell the rest. And cancer is a systemic disease. It's in all parts of – if you got cancer and they diagnosed it in one place, you got it someplace else too. So,
exactly.
You know, I had an agriculture student once take one of my classes, and she said not only do they do that, she said, but if a pig is pregnant – and it's going to market, they sew it up to keep the fetuses inside and they die and rot so that they weigh more by the time they get them to market. I mean, we could go on and on, but what I like to remind people the most is that it's not a natural human instinct to eat dead flesh. It is a learned experience. It's not man's. We don't have short intestines like my dog and cat. We have about 5 feet of intestines, so it's sticks in there and it rots and it putrefies, and this is why you stink and you smell and you have bad breath.
Right.
I always call people, they're walking around with little pet cemeteries in your tummies, you know. This is creating all of this foulness in the air, and it's because of this rotting. Here's how I prove it. If you were on a desert island and you hadn't eaten in 2 weeks and you had my dog, who's an omnivore, with you, and you have my cat, who's a true carnivore, and we are basically fruitarians, and a dead cow appeared and a bushel of apples. Now, you can't fry the cow and you can't, you know, bread it and anything else. You got to stick your teeth into it just like the carnivorous cat would. Your instincts would take you to the apples. So this
eating
of dead animals, it is a learned experience, and people are asleep and they're like little gerbils, and it's good and I'm used to it and it's cheap and it's convenient. But the beauty of it is once you stop, I have to tell you, another whole world opens up to you. And then you stop that and you go to the next part, you give up the cow secretions, I call them, and another world comes to you. And then you go to living foods and it's like, my God, you feel like you can walk on water.
Well, that brings up another, and I just want to say this real quick. I'm not jumping on a cow's neck or back just to feed
like
myself.
My cat would,
that's not going to happen. Well, you know that milk is what everyone has grown up to believe that you are supposed to drink cow's milk. That is to have healthy bones.
And it's the single worst thing we do as humans being. It's worse than meat. It's the single worst thing that we do. the cow secretions, and that's all it is. It's a secretion from a cow. If your listeners want to make a change today that they can see and feel immediately, it would be to give up the cow secretions. And especially for for black people, for our people, it's worse than even other cultures. Because the cow is an indigenous to our part of the world on an anthropological level, so we haven't evolved enough to handle it at all. You know, this is why you see so many African-American children walking around with their mouths hanging open because they can't breathe through their nose. They have to breathe through their mouth. Mediterranean people, Jewish people absolutely should never have it, but nobody should have it. And you want to know where your big hips are coming from and everything? You're taking in a secretion that was created for an animal that's meant to grow 1,000 pounds in 1 year. And they give these animals growth hormones and steroids and antibiotics, and these growth hormones are growing you too. And growth hormones feed cancer cells. So you and you know, when I breastfed my children, the doctor said, don't eat chocolate because it'll give the baby diarrhea. It'll go right to your breast milk. Don't eat onions. It'll give the baby gas. It'll go right to your breast milk. So all of these hormones and steroids and things they're giving the cows, it's going right to the breast milk. So you're getting an even larger dosage of it than when you eat the meat.
Oh, my God. See, I'm glad that you
mentioned
that. I'm glad that you mentioned why we shouldn't drink milk. And we have another comment for you.
Sure.
Hold on real quick.
They want to call me.
Leah. Leah, you are live with me and Karen. What's going on?
Hey there. I just want to say, first of all, thank you so much for joining. You're absolutely amazing, Miss Karen.
Thank you.
My mom listened to this, the entire segment. As indigenous to our culture, African American people, one of the things that my family deals with our people is arthritis and diabetes.
Sure.
I'm a diabetic myself. I have been a diabetic since I was 17, which turned
type
into
two?
Hypoglycemia.
Right. What's your question before I answer? I'm going to answer before you ask your question. What's your question?
We could talk all day. All of us, we could talk all day. But my question is there any, I have two questions. In terms of arthritis and diabetes / hypoglycemia, what do you recommend as a first step?
Well, the arthritis especially can be directly related to the animal products, to eating meat. The nitrates in the meats and stuff actually create help the body to form the arthritic condition. A lot also has to do with fibrin in the body, so a good systemic enzyme, and I'm not prescribing because I'm not allowed to do that, I'm making suggestions, but a good systemic enzyme, which we do have on my e-commerce also, would almost... A lot of people have reported to me gotten results with even rheumatoid arthritis. But once again, that's spot checking the body, because the body needs to work on everything. You know, I can make recommendations and it can give you some relief, but it isn't actually healing what created the problem, the imbalance in your body. In terms of blood sugar, there's so many wonderful herbs out there like fenugreek and MSM and things that can help chromium, a vitamin. There are many things to help balance that. But once again, I don't like to compartmentalize the body. I think a detox is where you start, and then you go from there with adding on to what you may need. Did I answer your question?
Yes, but in terms of detox, as you know, my great grandmother was a diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
Never took medication.
So was mine.
Right, and just completely balanced by diet, which I learned from her, and I practice as well. How do you stop, you know, necessarily eating what you think is okay and not breaking down and having a diabetic attack?
One of the things that I recommend to the people that are taking my detox classes, I like to remind them it's only 30 short days out of 365 that I'm asking you to do things totally, totally different. So most of us can muster up enough willpower and, you know, to hang on week by week for a very short period of time. I also, in Chicago, and I'm sure you have there too, have several integrative doctors that people work with if they choose, while they're doing the classes or the detox, to help them start to reduce their medication, because you never should just stop taking medication either. Your body has to find balance, and then you realize that you need less and less. But you need to find a good integrative doctor who does believe in doing things holistically also. But even before that, just do a detox. And what happens is, what I love about my class more than anything is, and what I teach is, it's not about me, a doctor, anybody giving you the knowledge that you need for your body. We all intuitively know what's right for ourselves. We're born with a book called intuition. We're instinctual animals. And when you detox and break down the layers of toxicity, you know what's right for you. You don't need me or anybody else to tell you. That's the beauty of cleansing the body. You get to your core, and you know your answers. And that's what people tell me over and over again at the end of my class. Three things: they feel self-empowered, they have self-love, and they know what to do for themselves, or at least they're starting to. Did I answer your question?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you too, sweetheart.
Thanks for calling in, Leah. You know, it's funny because I'm glad that you mentioned that, because I noticed that doing this detox, like I said, I've done it before, the mental clarity that comes out of it is
amazing.
Yep. Yeah, it's amazing, definitely. And I know it. My mother was listening in earlier, and she, if she could call in right now, she'll tell you, before I started my last detox, I told her and everyone else, do not call my phone with anything crazy. And they did it. But what was funny after that cleanse, it's just like I was able to handle a lot of things I wasn't able to handle before. So
exactly.
Definitely, yeah, definitely. It's it's not only are you cleansing your body and your system mentally.
It's your brain, too. That's right.
Well,
you know
right.
something, Crush? I truly believe that all of our children that are killing each other and they've lost all their feeling of humanity toward each other, people are just rude and mean, there's one of two things. They're either constipated or they're just not getting enough nutrients to their cells, and they're not wired. Some of us are wired where you can handle the toxicity and the negativity, but especially some of these kids. I mean, it's just a shame the way man is treating man in our day and age, and it all, to me, has so much to do with how we're eating, because it does affect your brain. It affects everything.
Yeah, it does. Definitely. Well, we have one more comment for you from one of our hosts, Renita. What's up, Renita? You are live with me and Karen.
What's going on?
Hello.
So I'm glad you're on the show, Karen, because I don't know if Crush or, you know, anyone has given you the heads up, but I guess I'm the meat eater of the group.
Yay!
I read this book. I know you've heard of it, I'm sure. It's Eat for Your Blood Type.
Absolutely, yeah. And I get asked that question continually, yeah. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something, Leah. I certainly don't judge your choices to eat the meat, but in my belief system, what my mother taught me is, for every pro, there's a con, and for every con, there's a pro. So, of course, there's going to be those that say what I say is wrong and what I think is wrong. So what I teach is, educate yourself on every level and then see where your heart takes you. I don't believe in eating for your blood type, because we've all got a couple of kidneys, a liver, a bloodstream. God created internally, if you take us apart, we're not different. Okay, we may look different on the inside, but you take us apart, you're not going to be able to tell one heart from another heart unless they were a smoker or something like that. So that doesn't work for me. But it doesn't work for me, people eating by charts either, you know, 8 glasses of water today or this, that, or the other.
Right.
Once again, I believe if you cleanse and detox your body, here, I'm going to give you a real quick little story. It's a little bit dirty, if it's okay. It's not totally. But my husband, when I met him, because I could never be intimate with anybody that ate meat, because you smell differently. You don't realize it, but you smell differently when you eat meat.
I'm sorry. So, the way that you said it, well, if you eat meat, you just don't smell right.
Well, you just can't tell a difference. And so, you know, after we dated for a while, I let him know, well, you know, nothing's going to happen because you're – and he says, well, I'll give it up, okay? So he says, but I'm never going to feel like you do about it. And I said, that's okay. So we had dated for about 6 years, And he wasn't eating meat, and he used to play cards at a friend's house all the time. No, they played at a hotel, and they would play poker every Monday night and, you know, order food out and everything. And then they switched to somebody's house. Now, he hasn't eaten meat in 6 years, not because he believes like I do, but, you know, the more powerful reason not to eat it for men, for him. And they went to somebody's house, and the wife was cooking steak. And he had to leave. He physically got ill from the smell. And he said, oh, my God, I could never believe that would happen to me. So your belief system and how you're thinking and what you're eating, it's a product of everything that's in your system. And all I suggest is give yourself a chance for 30 short days, not with the belief system that you're going to be a vegan or a vegetarian. You're going to have the biggest old steak that you want when you're done with the detox. Give your body a chance to clean out and see where your brain takes you.
Do you think, I mean, it sounds good, but is there any, like, good meat at all, or you really feel
well,
like
yeah.
No,
you know what, if you're going to eat meat,
the only reason I'm frustrated.
I know. Well,
no,
we know,
I'm
I got an answer for you.
Because, but to be honest, sometimes I crave it. That's why I
but
ask.
You crave,
like,
but you
I have craving.
And I understand, honey, and what I'm telling you, you have those cravings because of what your body is made up of right now. If you gave your body a short rest from it, you would wait and see where your cravings are going to take you. Is there a good meat? Yes. If you're going to eat animals, you should be eating it raw because then the enzymes are intact. Like I said earlier, the only way if you get, and you can't, I don't think, get any good raw meat in our world at this point in time. But, yeah, if you ate it raw, it wouldn't have as detrimental effect on you because the enzymes would still be intact and your body would be able to break it down. But what you have to understand is your body isn't breaking down that meat. It takes anywhere from a half hour to an hour to break down fruits and vegetables. It can take 9 hours, 9 months, 9 years to break down the dead meat. They found 75 pounds of fecal matter in Howard Lyman had in his book. In John Wayne, they found 30. I mean, you are literally building up years and years of toxicity. People carry anywhere from 6 to 30 pounds of crap in them. So you're not breaking down that meat like my dog who has a short intestine. So it's rotting and it's putrefying, and that rotting, putrefying matter is what's calling on you to have more. We don't actually live off of chunks of food. Which is why we're supposed to chew our food until it's a liquid, and we live off of the gases from the liquids. So if you have a lot of stinky gases, it's calling for more stinky gases. It's what your body's craving. If you gave your body just a short little period of cleaning out, and I'm not saying just giving up the meat. You got to do stuff like the chlorophyll and the drinks and things that I recommend to build it up at the same time. And then at the end of the detox, say, well, you know what? Yeah, I still want meat, but maybe you'd only crave it once a month or every 6 months or once a week. Who knows? But it's just giving your body different information for a short period of time because it's that same information that you do over and over again that will ultimately get you in trouble. Because even the American Cancer Society says that meat is a result, cancer is a result of too much animal protein in the body.
Did that answer your question, Renita?
Did I answer your question?
You know, I want to ask because Renita is my friend, so I'm going to ask her a personal question and whether she wants to answer it or not. But I just want to know, like, how many, because you're supposed to have a certain amount of bowel movements a day. So how many do you have?
Oh, she's
going to
get you now.
Right. I'm like, of all people, really? Yes. How many?
I feel that I'm in a good situation when it comes to that.
No.
Here's the deal, though. And I gotta you know, jump on Crush right here. If you are happy with your life and the way you look and feel and everything going, then you're doing exactly what's perfect for you. And I don't think you should have any issue or do anything else. I think if you are happy and comfortable with the way you look and feel, then I don't think you should do anything else.
Okay, you know what?
No,
you're right,
Karen. Huh? I mean, Karen's right, but I do feel that because I do eat a lot of meat and I eat it like a lot a week, I'm sure that, you know, contributes to, like, why I do feel tired sometimes and stuff like that. So I just wanted to know what you thought about
it. But remember
it.
I said beginning, remember I said only rich people had heart disease because they were the only ones that could afford to eat meat all day, every day. So at least start to cut down. Start somewhere. And you know what? You're starting somewhere because you're listening to the conversation and you're asking questions.
That's right.
And no matter what you do, seeds are being planted. So you know what? God bless you.
Well, you know what, Karen? I want to know because, you know, Renita's not going to ask that, and I know she's going to get she's not going to answer that question, but how many bowel movements are you supposed to have a day?
If you eat 3 times a day, you should make 3 times a day. If you eat 5 times a day, you should make 5 times a day. If you're eating 3 times a day and making once a day, if you're constipated. If you're eating 3 times a day and making every other day, you're real constipated. If you're eating 3 times a day and going once a week, you're in big trouble. Because what goes in must come out, and if it doesn't, where did it go, and what's it doing?
All right. Well, one of the last questions that I have about meat, I know you've heard about this meat glue situation, and I've posted this video several times on global14.com, and everyone's talked about it. Some people refuse to watch it, but the fact is that people – they are taking scraps of meat, and they're using this powder that's called transglutaminase, and it's made of bacteria, some type of bacteria, and the primary ingredient is the plasma from pigs and cattle. And one of the things that I notice is that when they take the scraps of meat that is too small to sell, they glue it back together. And mind you, the guy, when he showed how they were putting this meat together, he had a face mask on and gloves.
Sure. They do the same in the chemo labs where they're making chemo to heal people. They have to wear gloves and biochemical suits and stuff. It's just, once again, sweetheart, is people are asleep, and you can slap them in the face with the pictures and everything
right.
else, and if they want to be asleep, they're going to be asleep. You can't talk anybody into anything. You can
right.
you can do what you're doing, putting the information out, making it available, and those who are meant to see it and do it will, and those who aren't, God bless them. They'll, you know, life is what it's all about, cause and effect. What you do will affect how you look, how you think, how you feel, and how you handle your life. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, at 65, I work 16 hours a day, 6 days a week. I'm
right.
still opening up businesses. I don't know what illness or tiredness is. I can still wear the same clothes I wore in high school. I take a professional advanced ballet class at 22 with 22-year-olds and younger. I personally would listen to me, but everybody's not ready to. And you just have
right.
to suck it up, keep giving the information like you're doing, and let those who are ready to hear it, they'll hear it, and those that aren't, you can't beat yourself against the wall. This is, and it's getting out there more now than ever. I used to say, well, McDonald's Farm, but now they have all of these wonderful films. They even have doctors
right.
talking about it, forks over knives. There's a million things,
yes.
but like you say, you put it up and people don't even want to watch.
Yeah, they don't want to watch it because they're afraid. And
it's
I can
not even
understand.
That. They're asleep. They don't want to know the truth. They're asleep. They're
y'all
happy in their
on
misery.
The meat glue.
They're happy in
right.
their misery. Did you ever think of this? Borden's glue and Borden's ice cream and milk are all done in the same factories.
Wow, I did it.
Right. But
I didn't even think of that.
It's all done in the
wow.
same factories. And these people are being marketed and programmed, and you know what? It is what it is.
Oh, my God.
It is what it is. But I'd like
well,
to remind people, if they don't take care of their bodies, the most magnificent machines they're ever going to be given, where are they going to live?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I'm 35, and I'm trying to live for 120, like you said. Shoot.
That's right. and I may change my mind at 119 and take it further.
Right, right. Well, I'm with you. Well, I have one more question for you for the night because we talked about all these things. But right now, what are the most dangerous products or everyday items that we use that you think that, you know, we should stop using?
Well, you know, I'm gonna throw one out there right away. It's going to make a lot of people mad. I mean, you think the meat got your friend ramp. Caffeine is one of the most dangerous things on the planet, and nobody is going to tell you because everybody's addicted to it. It is
right.
one of the most acidic things on the planet, and cancer loves acid, mucus, and yeast. And they got 40,000 stores, so nobody has to wait more than a half a minute to get their brown liquid that is literally killing them. So that's
one. Oh, my gosh.
all these household chemicals we use, Windex and stuff we're spraying around, you know, sanitizing and cleaning everything with. I mean, who's that filthy? We don't need all those strong chemicals, you know,
right,
to make it through the day. It's just all it's just chemicals. That's really, to me, the chemicals, the dairy, and the caffeine. And then
so caffeine,
I throw in meat.
So what do you suggest is an alternative to caffeine, because I'm into more tea now. So,
well, how about giving your cells the nutrients they need and the chlorophyll, and you don't need the energy from caffeine.
Okay.
You don't need those liquids. You know, if you're giving the body what it's supposed to be, here's the deal. If you have a horse and he's so tired he can't walk from here to here, and you take spurs and you kick him, he didn't get energy from the spurs, and he's going to drop dead a lot sooner because he's going on energy he doesn't really have. And that's what
right,
the caffeine is doing. So, yes, teas are wonderful. There's some wonderful herbal teas, and I think that's a wonderful way to get going. But make sure you get in all your chlorophyll so you got room
right,
before you get to all the teas.
Okay, well,
just
you know
thought,
I'm,
but I'm happy
about
with the tea, too.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna jump on your site, and I'm definitely gonna share with everyone, and definitely everyone that's listening, stay tuned, because I will be holding a little contest for Karen Soak Your Nuts book.
Oh, thank
so,
you so much, Crush.
So
this has
everyone,
been a ball. You are such a delightful young woman. I'm so happy you have this opportunity and you're doing this, and you keep on keeping on, girlfriend, because you're doing a fabulous job.
Oh, thank you, and the best is yet to come, because I'm definitely looking forward to come out to Chicago and come to your restaurant. I'm jumping on everything, so let your team know. Tell Tiffany I said hi, too. She definitely stayed on top of me as far as getting this interview together, so she was awesome.
I certainly will tell her. And is this interview recorded or it's only live? Like if we wanted to post it where people could go back and listen later or anything?
Oh, I got you covered. I got you covered.
Okay,
so after
thank
the show, what I'm going to do is I'm going to download it and make sure Tiffany gets it. She'll have it by tomorrow.
Beautiful. Thank you so
right,
much. And thank all your listeners,
thank you.
Too.
Thank you. Let me tell you, this show, the chat room was packed. We had a lot of listeners, and that just goes to show people want to be healthy. And I'm glad that we were able to, you know, put this out there. And definitely thank you for all of your insight. And, you know, we look forward to having you on the show again, because it's coming sometime soon.
Anytime
we're going to have you back
want.
On the show.
Anytime
all right,
you
thank
want.
You so much, Karen.
Bless you, honey.
Have a
take
blessed
care.
Night.
Bye-bye.
So, lifers, once again, I saw that the chat room was heavy. Everyone in there had a lot of questions. Thank you to those that called in. As you guys just see, this is something that I love talking about because I am, you know, interested in, you know, what makes our bodies tick and how can we remain healthy. You know, like she said, she's not perfect. She still dyes her hair, so she, you know, she's not perfect. But at the same time, she knows what is good for her and what isn't. So definitely I want to encourage everyone that's listening tonight to definitely know what you're putting in your body. That's the first step, I think, is know what you're putting in your body, know what you're feeding your family as well, and also, you know, do something for someone else, especially if you see that they're suffering or they're, you know, somebody that might be overweight, you know, have them join you in a detox or something, you know, let's all work together and try to make sure all of us live a long, last life. So once again, if you are on global14.com, please join the Vegan and Vegetarian Lifers group. We are doing a 30-day vegan and vegetarian challenge. So if you want to join in, it's never too late. Everyone in there is posting their food. A lot of the people are meat eaters, but they're trying this challenge. So I'm definitely proud of everyone that's joining the challenge. All right. Well, like I said, I want to thank everyone that called in. I want to thank our special guest, once again, Karen Calabrese, for joining. I want to thank JD for definitely giving us this platform to, you know, to spread this type of information. This is what everyone wants to hear, and it's proof. And you know what? JD has mentioned this to me, that, you know what, having educational stuff on here. It's not all about the gossip. It's not all about the drama and everything else. People want to learn, and definitely we're going to continue to give you guys more things that make you think and educate you. So definitely stay tuned for that. Don't forget, all right, sign up to global14.com. You could catch us at G14 Radio and also at Global 14 on Twitter. So if you have any questions or comments or anything, definitely hit us up. And I also want to remind everyone, we do have two new hosts. The shows will start next week, Cupid's Lounge, and also The Cut by Onyx. So definitely stay tuned for that. Once again, thank you all for listening tonight. Thank you for tuning in to Global 14 Radio, LTL for Life. Good night.
So death.